know the song, this is when you sing in response to what I just said. Ready, go. Oyade, yeah. Oyade.
Thank you, team, for coming. And as you know, many of you to get here had to pass the sign that said, do not go this way. So, do not go that way. That's everybody here's middle name. Of course we're going.
That's right.
So, welcome, ancient and new and medium new and future allies. So, those of you who've been hanging with me for a while know Muti. Muti means power and medicine. It comes from the Sangomas of South Africa. So we say, on this powerful time, this powerful moment, all moments await our dedication to animate the most desirable story. So with the Muti, coyote hair, Syrian tobacco, many good things, we say, O spirit of the compassionate trickster, the trickster redeemer within each one of us, connecting us to that in the world which is good, open the path before us and grant us the opportunity and the dedication to make the opportunity manifest while we are having the most serious fun and the most and the greatest cultural influence possible. So I think we begin with the sacred teachings of the Bunny Planet. there were wonderful children's books by Rosemary Wells, and they're so charming. They're little animal beings, you know, and then the day goes badly. The day goes badly, and as they go off to sleep, then, far beyond the earth and stars, 20 light years south of Mars, spins the gentle bunny planet. And the bunny queen is Janet. Come in, she says, for here's the day that should have been. And they redo the whole day just as it should have been in rhyme. So we're here to say, for here's the year that should have been. We're here to lay the old year to rest, for here's the last millennia that should have been. We get to go backwards and forwards to bless everything. You know, agents of the trickster redeemer born now. Because it is a powerful, powerful time. The full moon, just past full moon, rising there behind us. Whoa, it was a wonderful sight. And this is the day today when Uranus, representing trickster ingenuity, that which resides within us and connects us to everything out there, you know, in the world and in mythology and in nature, that loves against all odds. Goes against all odds. I love that. That part of ourselves, that's what we're feeding. So we see it in coyote, in raven. We see it in nature's ingenuity that some seeds only sprout after cataclysm, flood, forest fire. That's when nature's ingenuity goes, of course we can do this thing. So we know that we humans, you know, aside from our, well, because of our rudeness, you know, we've set so many things in motion, everything's got to cooperate. Everything's got to experiment and collaboratively cahoot. So we're here to honor democratic animism, my favorite thing I made up, but it actually exists. Very often we make up things that actually exist. And that's the model of, you know, collaborate with everything. It's the model of my a wonderful friend who said, you know, the modern concept of worship is so degraded. You are great, oh great, whatever, fill in the blank. You know, I am nothing, now give me this thing. And she said, in ancient indigenous culture, in ancient indigenous culture, she said throughout the Mediterranean and in our indigenous DNA, mythological DNA, she said the relationship between the invisible and the visible, between the incarnate and the disincarnate, you know, was full of reverence and respect, but it was a much more collaborative relationship, that the invisible seeks incarnation, you know, as much as we seek communion with it. And this powerful time, as we lead to the solstice, is all about the mysteries of incarnation. We lay the old to rest, and then what are we going to invite to incarnate? It is, you know, for humans, for 25,000 years gathering at this time, these longest nights in the Northern Hemisphere, you know, and what is it with all the standing stones, Stonehenge and New Grange and, you know, Malta and everywhere and the Four Corners area, I mean, everywhere, is the sun's light illuminating, you know, way back of the cave, the painting or the writing. And it's the earliest form of human theater. Oh, come, you know, literal and symbolic. Literal symbolic is the same thing. The literal is the symbolic. Oh, come, light of sun, and illuminate this template, this story, this piece of poetry. So we are here to make our bodies incarnational templates and our power of dedication. And the power of dedication, you know, I say some things are always true, but there are times when they're truer. And this is a truer time going, ooh, we're heading to the winter solstice on Saturday. It is the full moon illuminating this. Uranus the trickster is stationing, retrograde, apparent backwards motion. It started to go backwards on July 18th, Nelson Mandela's birthday, and it goes forward today, and we with his powerful medicine mojo that we will be honoring and invoking with all of the ancestors. So so it is especially, you know, this incarnational mystery of the winter solstice where we want the trickster, Uranus, redeemer, born not in a person, born in every heart. You know, and we know the purpose of ritual magic throughout the ages, you know, winter solstice strong for that, was a group of people at a powerful place disguised as ions, and also actually as ions, excuse me, powerful lighting disguised as fluorescent lighting, I mean, whatever. imagine it as flickering in a positive, not too much, So the purpose of ritual magic was for dedicated hearts to gather, to spiral into the invisible group collective human mind, an expanded repertoire of ingenious responses of tolerance and wisdom. So we're here to do that mojo. We say, you know, we can be lonely on our own, but it takes a group in which to be alienated. that's the Saturn-Uranus thing. But the other side is how to have a group where the trickster, the unique part of all of us, is welcome. And there are some times, like now, we're gathering with our team as we're doing. You know, it gives us more Uranus, more freedom to be ourselves. The whole dynamic right now, the power of, you know, last night, full moon in Gemini, you know, trickster has its voice into the world. The moon is now rising at 4 degrees of Cancer in the east. So it's changed signs and now it forms a grand square. So it's rising in the east and it's squaring Uranus, 90 degree angle to Uranus, the trickster overhead, which squares Pluto, you know, death and rebirth, the death of empire and control. Row, you bastards, empire running. Then it begins to run on petroleum fuel, and now it's collapsing structures, and there we go. And underneath that is the curve of reverent renaissance rising from the rubble over here. But that's why I say often, but I still have enthusiasm for saying it. That's why, as we notice, that cable news is brought to us by Viagra, because empire just can't get it up anymore. There we go. That always alarms the right-wingers that I sometimes hang out with. They go, it squares Pluto, and then it squares Mars in Libra, Venus's sign, and then squares back to the moon. So a grand square. Now, square is 90 degree angles. You know, sometimes people go, oh no, squares, oh no, Saturn transits, oh no. And as a friend of mine says, uh-oh, might get something done, because it's dynamic. And the square is part of our assignment, the compelling illusion of conflict. It's where we're assigned to get illusorily conflicting things to dance together once again, to understand that these are false estrangements brokered by the reality police to render people obedient to empire, which is collapsing anyway. So the idea of physics and metaphysics, they love each other. You know, when people say, you know, thinking and mind, you know, and feeling, heart versus thinking. You know, I used to be a thinker, but now I'm full of heart. And I love James Hillman, the first guest on the Visionary Activist Show 17 years ago, and he goes, "I'm trying to get in touch with my thinking." And I go, "Well, that's very clever and perverse and Aries of you, James. That's adorable." But the idea that thinking, you know, thinking and feeling, they love each other. These are false estrangements. The heart and the mind, everything when it's in its dynamic relationship, a relationship of reciprocal blessing and collaborative cahoots. And that's what a square is about. So Uranus and Aries, the feisty dynamic, you know, and its opposite Mars and Libra, the energy of relationship. So our culture says, you know, either you can be free or be in a relationship, you know. And we go, no, that's crazy. You know, both. We are here to create relationships, friendships, love relationships, community relationships that enhance our uniqueness, support our uniqueness rather than suppress it. So we go out as seed people. So we're going to be literalizing and animating a whole number of metaphors. So we all have our magic backpacks that you have now. And with them, we're going to fill them with things. But seeds, too. In your magic backpack, everybody has seeds of reverent ingenuity. And this is a good model of the mojo, the invisible, eager to enter the world. All it needs is invitation. You know, the idea is cooperators are standing by, but spiritual etiquette requires that we invite. And we invite by dedicated acts. We invite by making our vows that we can be nothing by ourselves. You know, humans cannot resolve the innumerable rudenesses we've inflicted on this planet by ourselves. It's by ourselves that got us into this pickle. So we make vows now. This is a great time, a great night, a great week to write our manifestos of dedicated devotion, because that is a Saturn focusing activity that strengthens our signal, so that we're more likely to take advantage of what's available, this Uranus trickster quality. And Uranus says to each one of us, "I will connect you to the coolest thing possible, and all I want from you is willingness." And so just for the fun of it, we go, We're willing. Hey, hooray. And the invisible goes, "We've been invited. Look, they've hoisted their sails of willingness. Let's send the wind." So we are setting synchronous sail for the land of serendip. You know, so synchronous serendipity comes to those with dedicated hearts. So this power of dedication, which I think is actually easier in a group, going right. So we do ritual magic. We do incarnational mystery. Why not? We are, you know, again, if one feels to do that in one's heart, you know, being willing to be agents of the trickster redeemer quality of intelligence in the world. You know, when people go around and go, "Oh, you're such a goddess, and you're a goddess," and it's like, no, inflation alert, you know, agent of, you know, it's Robert Bly used to say, we want to identify with many things, not with one thing. You know, he said, you see, you know, 108-year-old women with pink ribbons and little poodles, you know, over-identification with Venus. There's a larger repertoire. We want to identify with many things as their agents, as their incarnational agents. And the Venus model, because we have, When the beautiful sky earth story, you know, kind of guides us, and it's so heartening, because we can all go, "Oh, beauty, wait, there's beauty." That is one of the originating impulses, you know, going back, it keeps getting further back, but we know at least 25,000 years, to see the correlation of the beautiful pattern of the heavens, you know, invited in to make sense out of the apparent chaos of our personal and collective lives. And it is so heartening. I mean, I did so many astrology readings on the phone and Skype. Talk to me later. But it's also, but what's wonderful, most of the people I read for, many know their charts well, or even professional astrologers and all, which is fabulous. But many people don't know their charts. But I'll have, you know, four people in a row just on the phone from all over the world, you know, with a planet at 20 degrees of Scorpio. And I go, "Oh, that's so beautiful." You know, if I didn't have this language, we wouldn't notice this perfection, but the perfection is going on all the time. And I go, 20 degrees of Scorpio, apparently reporting in for duty. We go, "Oh, order." It's so heartening and beautiful. Language grants us access to the realm it describes. If we have the language, we can journey there. So astrology, regardless of what people think it is this exquisite language of our interior lives of the psyche and its connection to the whole large collective. And it means that any small thing that we do, you know, any difficult thing that we work with and invite in trickster to resolve, grants us the spiritual muscle tone to participate in doing that in a larger way. And the seeds that we plant, you know, again, how we take care, how we address tyranny. And so part of what's being provided as a metaphor is Uranus, again, apparent motion of planets backwards, begins its retrograde apparent motion backwards from the Earth's perspective on Nelson Mandela's birthday. Today goes forward. Trickster goes from backwards, which is inward, 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 to forward, outward, outward, outward. Trickster is eager to bound onto the world stage. So one of the metaphors that I like so much is that we all have a bow and arrow, let's say. So we have a bow in one hand, and with a bowstring and an arrow, we have our quiver full of arrows, each arrow tipped with compassion, with tyranny as its target. So we take an arrow and we put it into the bowstring and we pull the arrow back. And the bowstring and the arrow might say, oh man, I'm not making any progress. I seem to be going backwards. Okay, but the bow says, no, no, you're really going to like this. To the extent that we pull in and back, you know, is the extent of forward, synchronous, connected, you know, motion. Fatoom! So we're going to set those arrows flying. We're just planting that seed. You know, and again, how we are contrarians, experimental contrarians, agents of resolution, deriving everything from nature. Let all natural facts be social strategy metaphors. If we want to protect wolves, let's become like wolves. If we want to protect water, let's become like water. So we know that in nature, whenever conflict comes together, spirals ensue. Spirals are nature's way of resolving conflict. You know, it's a friend of mine when I said, what do hurricanes want? He said, they want what we all want. They want to move, they want peace. They want to resolve conflict and move to the North Pole. The bigger the storms that we're heading into is speaking to us about the largeness of the imbalance. You know, it says, humans, we're trying to resolve this, but you've created so many things out of whack, you know, that the storms are bigger, but we all want peace together. And, you know, my buddy David Grimes has given me so many great things, but he reminded me that when Wilhelm Reich was in China translating the I Ching, there was a terrible drought. And so they summoned the Taoist Rainbringer. And the Taoist Rainbringer came to the community and sat and chanted mam nam 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 for like 3 days. And then it just poured rain. So Richard Wilhelm went to him and said, how did you make the rain come? And the Taoist Rainbringer said, I didn't make the rain come. He said, where I live, things are in balance. When I came to your community, it was so whacked out, so out of balance, it took me 3 days to come into balance. And when I came into balance, the rains came. So let us all take this in our magic backpacks, that we be agents of coming into balance. It's like the wonderful witch character in Terry Pratchett's novels, Tiffany Aiken. And it begins the one of the most wonderful books, I Shall Wear Midnight. It's such a great book, so pertinent, about dealing with the shadow and dealing with evil and how do we do that. But it begins with the young girl witch is helping the old tyrannical patriarch to die, like we're doing. And she's taking the pain from him, and she goes, balance, balance. The first thing she learned in witchcraft was all about balance, how to let the pain flow through you, not into you. The center of the seesaw is neither up nor down, but upness and downness flow through it. So we want to take that and put that in your magic backpack as well. So we want to honor whales. I many things to say about whales. I did the show, a little mini show with Michael Stocker, in which he played some of the whale sounds, because the sounds, the invisible sounds, radio invisible sounds, acoustic, the ocean is largely acoustic, invisible. And we are here to restore intimacy to the world. So part of the great work that he does, you know, when the Dementors are up for drilling in the Arctic and all, and they go, it's just empty. It's just empty. And he goes, no, here's the sounds of the Arctic. And it is so trippy. And I go, oh, play the bearded seals again, Michael. Play the bearded seals again. Because I can't do it justice to it, because he's got, but the bearded seals go, it's say it's like northern shamanic singing. You go, you know, whales, I mean, seals said that. And the Arctic Ocean, so dark, so full of the whale sounds and the thing sounds and the songs. You know, nothing is empty. Everything is full and rich. So part of what the whales have to teach us, how to save the whales by being like the whales. And Michael takes groups of people, and I'm going to take a little small group of people to San Ignacio Lagoon in Baja, Mexico. And it's where this miracle has happened, because it's where the gray whales go to calf, and for centuries humans have done atrocious things, you know, killed the mothers giving birth and all kinds of terrible things, many terrible things. But it was 20 years ago that on the same day that the UN passed global marine mammal protection, on that day, Pancho Mayoral, a fisherman, was out in his little panga, and this gray whale came up right beside him. And he was terrified. But it wouldn't go away, and it was like, tickle me, tickle me. He's like, okay, all right. And it was like, you know, whatever purring whales do. And then it was like, let me go get my calf. And then, so they brought the baby, and he was like, oh. And then ever since then, the whales in San Ignacio Lagoon come up to the fishermen in the boats and to those fortunate enough to go there, and they present their children, and we pat them, and we gaze into them, and they go down, and then they come up and go, hello, and squirt you. And it's like, oh, interspecies dating. There's nothing more moving. It's just fantastic. You know, and the scientists who came to study this extraordinary phenomenon, because nobody had ever seen this before, said the scientists began to weep, which again is like a tarot card. Things are so strong now that scientists are weeping. And the scientists were weeping on the boats going, we think the whales are forgiving us. So there came a terrible moment when Mitsubishi was going to inhale that bay and do a salt factory and destroy the whole thing. And the president of Mexico had approved it. And Pancho Mayoral told us this, and his son told us this, that the fishermen invited the president of Mexico and his wife and child to go out in the boats before he gave the final approval to this terrible project. And he said the whales knew what they had to do. And he said he'd never seen them so beguiling, so fetching. And they came up to the boat, and the president of Mexico's, you know, wife and child were just weeping with the joy of it, because you're weeping at the kinship of it. And the, like, we need the gaze of all these animals. They feed us. We are nothing without them. And the president of Mexico saw his family weeping with the beauty of it and canceled the project.
Yes.
So we bring this up because the whales did not go, you, president of Mexico, in creepy cahoots with corporate running dog lackeys of imperialism, you fuckhead. They went, was it? No. And if the whales who had been killed for centuries can go, was a, and have, you know, tyranny as the target of their beautiful eyes, then who are we to do less than that?
That's right.
You know, and adopt that as a strategy that worked rather than righteous demand, tantrum, yoga, we are right and now we are crushed and we're still right. We go, no, you know, alienation once fashionable, we can't afford it anymore. So the whales, so see me afterwards. We're taking a wonderful friend Meredith Pond and I. We're taking five people. We might be almost full, but there might be a space or two to this place for 4 days at Whale Camp and a beautiful journey. So see me afterwards if you're interested. Mm-hmm. But I love you know, Coyote Network News. It is my moniker, Mythological News Service, and it does wonderfully, as I like to say, you know, in right-wing groups or hostile territory or whatever. If you use an identifying series of words that nobody's ever heard of before, you're home free. You know, you can do anything. So as your agent in Washington D.C., when I go to CPAC and other Dementor underworld, you know, Conservative Political Action Committee underworld realms, you know, and you know, Austrian economists, you go, right-wing Ayn Rand economists go, you, who are you with your get up and your whatever, who are you? And I go, I'm Coyote Network News. I'm a mythological news service for the trickster redeemer within us all. And they go, that is so cool. See, if I say If I said I'm a progressive left-wing radio, always looking for money, kind of feminist, environmentalist, angry person, nothing. I mean, nothing. You know. So each one of us, again, we get to plant, like, to come up with a name that nobody's ever heard of. If they've never heard of it, there is no prison for it. You know, and the word ist is challenging because there's ready-made prisons for all ists. Oh, and dismissive. Oh, an environmentalist. So you could go, oh, I'm a sane, reverent person. Are you? You know, sane, reverent people had this to say. You know, Dementors came out against sane, reverent people. Language, the power of this full moon is the power of playful language. Again, like reggae music, the darker the lyrics, the jauntier the tune. That, you know, we're all going to die. So I have wonderful listeners. I mean, we're all equally in cahoots in this realm. And there's a really dedicated listener dear to me, because sometimes I just get these screeds like, whoa, paragraph break, where's that? But very lucid, and he gets up at 3 a.m. to listen to the rebroadcast in Los Angeles, bless his heart. But he takes to heart. So one of the things as we introduce the planets and what they represent and how you can feel them in your psyche, because the planets represent, we're not in a causative model, okay. Planets represent qualities of intelligence that reside within each one of us and connect us to the world. So as we speak to them, they like being spoken to. As we speak to them, that within us quickens and go, good, some attention at last. And it connects us to that out there going, welcome, cooperative standing by. So Neptune dreams and vision and the power of making music. Our word dream comes from an old English word, dreamon. It meant to make music and to dream, same word. Mm. To make music as a way of participating in dreaming the world into being. So Neptune has entered Pisces, the realm of the ocean, the whales, the sea, the realm of all powerful collective human symbols and myths and dreams, all available to us all now by affinity. And so Neptune would say to all of us, all good-hearted people at this time of dire beauty, you know, imagine the feeling that the deepest, most exiled, most alone, most unwelcome part of you is about to be completely welcome in the atmospheric memosphere of human culture and global culture. Like, so my listener has taken that. So he says, so the ancient days of shame are over. In other words, you're much funnier when you trip over yourself. You know what I mean? You cannot repeat, make it happen, because allowance is the key. All those magical tales that you believed were true are indeed true. And the real story, as told by the whales and their consorts, is beyond mind-blowing. The real story is the fairy tale when you imagine the other intelligences who, the practical ones, are being quite bold when they say, we are your higher mind disguised as extra dimensionals and extraterrestrials. And by the way, the cetaceans are in on the joke. Since your show, I've been immersed in whale songs and realized that a huge portion of the electromagnetosphere that tips slightly in the direction of the integrative almost a year ago now was held in balance by the whales and the dolphins whilst they tapped their flutes and waited for humans to remember the tribal agreements, which many did, believe it or not. If any of this makes sense, well then, the word of the night is imagination. Mm. So that's from...
Yeah, nice.
It's from an exile loner, street being musician in Los Angeles who never drives a car. And we go, all right, everywhere, allies are everywhere. And you wanted to bring in the whale song from Whale Rider. How many people have seen the movie Whale Rider? Oh, what a great crowd. It's worth seeing two or three times. It's so dedicated. Because remember, in that movie, the young girl who's overcoming patriarchy or whatever we want to call it, going, "You, how could you be the leader? You're a girl. I will pay you no mind." It's a very that movie is as compassionate as the whales and the young girl are themselves, because it treats the tyrannical grandfather not as a tyrannical grandfather, but as that part of him that is stuck. It deals with everybody, you know, and she does not go, "Grandfather, you dingbat, I am the leader." She goes, "Let me guide you with the whales to open your heart." Remember, the trickster redeemer like Scheherazade, by her eloquence and her storytelling, liberates the women, the land, and even the tyrant who has murdered his own heart. And that's the trickster redeemer. It's everything or nothing. It's like shooting the moon in the game of hearts. Mm. You know, where if you want to do this bold thing, shoot the moon. You have to have all the hearts and the queen of spades. And if you leave out even one, you lose worse than if you hadn't tried at all. Mm-hmm. So we do not expect everything to respond, but we extend the invitation because you never know. And that's why we're moving our emotional default setting to woof, woof, want to play. And if somebody doesn't want to play, you just go, fine. You don't go, blah, 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 because that wasn't really playful. It wasn't really a gift. So the whale song.
Yeah. Do you remember how she invited the whale? She would say, away, away. I mean, it was just, I cried so hard in that movie. It was ridiculous. But I kept watching it over and over again because I wanted to get this chant. So when she was walking in and practicing the Paikia song, she would,
Well, when you run into a work of art, all too rarely, but maybe increasingly, where immediately you can feel the texture of dedication.
Yes.
The texture of dedication.
Yeah.
You know, that movie is one where we go, ooh, whoever made this, these were dedicated people.
Yeah.
You know, we hope they make money because money wants to be sacred and hang out with good people again. I love Marge Piercy's poem that I will do inexactly, you know, but she says, because Venus is also stationing right now. Venus is stationing at her stationing degree, whose image is Gypsy reading tea leaves, you know, divination. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the restoration of intimacy to the world is important. And I went too far and threw the ball up, and it'll come down maybe several paragraphs later, unless anybody knows what I was going to say. Oh, come to me, come to me. Oh, Marge Piercy's poem. Thank you. That's right. Somebody telepathed that to me. Right. So she said, she says, I will rub my hands with honey, sacred to Venus. I will rub my hands with honey and run through the vaults of banks. You know, and say, come, money, come to me. I will not chain you in lonely, dark trust funds. No, soon you'll be free to join others of your kind. You know, come, money, and build a murmuring swarm in my purse.
Yes.
So naming, if we're here to restore intimacy, like the chants, the reason I love working with Ami so much, you know, naming, we have these powerful ancient chants, the morphic resonance of serving as a dedicated invitation for specific qualities of power to come into the world. You know, we say metaphors and music and chanting are the incarnational template whereby power enters the world. We want specific sensual imagery. We want everybody to be enlightened. No. We want everyone to be, you know, to have a cloak of living ducks around their back so that insults rolls off them and they are full of, you know, well, wait a minute. We want again the sensual incarnation. We say mythic figures are metaphoric animations of intrinsic intelligence in nature. And they are the templates going, come on in and animate this thing. Which is why it is a reverent, irreverent time to throw all teachings, all metaphors, all god and goddess templates really into this winter solstice cauldron and go, are you dedicated to the trickster? Are you still whatever? Does the divine wants to be liberated from past confines of human imagination. Oh, divine, do you still like this image? Nah, throw it back in. How about this one? Not bad. So we throw it in going, is it liberating? Is it democratic animism about cooperating with everything? Then we ladle it out, and if not, we throw it back into the thing. So names, naming things, powerful magic. You know, naming creates intimacy. And that's some of a great environmental activist or some sane reverend person, Zipporah Berman in British Columbia. So one of her great skills, because she's, you know, against all odds, doing great things, preserving land. So once they named the forest, the great Spirit Bear Forest, then people wanted to save it. It didn't have a name. But once it was named the Great Spirit Bear Forest, they were like, well, we got to save that. And part of what's happening in the Northwest also is the whole watershed from Seattle way up to north of Vancouver Island is one whole watershed, but it didn't have a name. So it was put on the ballot in Canada and in Washington State. Do you want to have a name for this? We'll call it the Salish Sea. And the Salish people were all up for that. And they were like, yes, we do. So they voted it in Canada, and it now has a name. And once it had a name, people wanted to protect it and save it. So now the Salish Sea, the plan is to create an entire watershed, you know, with regulated, you know, traffic, all the oil and everything, but with bicycle things and the whole bit, but the naming. So, the Rainforest Action Network people also talk about, because all the activists underneath are mystics. The scientists underneath are mystics. You know, we say pragmatic mysticism. They've been shamed out of it. Mm. But again, things are so powerful that they're no longer shamed. They are willing to acknowledge kinship and love for what they're assigned to protect and study. So the RAND people talk about singing back the wolves, singing the wolves. The wolves love to be sung back to. Mm. You know, and that's also the model of, you know, this powerful time where we honor the ancestors. You know, this is the time right now where we honor all those we love who have died. You know, all those in our bloodline, in fairy tales, in history, or in myth, who are ancestral intelligences. We cannot live through the dead, but we can invite what we love in them to live through us by turning our bodies into this incarnational template of invitation. So the ancestors, we want to think of all who've died. Joan Fontaine died yesterday. An old family friend said she had an affair with my dad. And I go, well, God love you. I hope it was good for everybody. So Joan Fontaine, you know who she was, an actress, you know, famous fight with her sister. But Olivia de Havilland. We go, all right, Joan, you know, whatever. bless you. And I did know her a little bit. It was cute. I didn't know at the time she'd had an affair with my dad, but my dad's a law partner. When my dad was already an ancestor, came to dinner, and she came to me, and she was like, who is that man? I must have him. And I go, that's Ed Canfield, and he's been really depressed for years. And she was like, give him to me. So I did, and they had a fantastic time. Anyway, we're happy to Yenta. You know, that's fine. And they did. It was a sweet time. So we know, many have died who are important to us. Lane Redmond, beautiful, beautiful ally. When the Drummers Were Women is one of her great books and one of her great contributions. Because she also, you know, the academics tried to shame her because she was excavating, going backwards to go forwards. She was going, well, look at all these texts. The women are holding these frame drums and they are leading the processional rituals. And the academic archaeologist said, they're holding round bread. You know, and it's like, but anyway, so Lane Redmond died in September. You know, Doris Lessing died, bless her heart, the contribution of her space model, Shikasta, the planet Earth, so prescient. Grumpy, she was grumpy, but she earned that, right? But she was, you know, I loved when she won the Nobel Prize in Literature. She's like, oh, what a bother. all right. And Peter O'Toole, there we go, and many, many, many other beings, and certainly, of course, Nelson Mandela. But we also, Peter Warshaw. Because in a moment, we're going to have an opportunity to, Ami will chant the ancestor honoring, and for all of us to say, you know, in our hearts or to say out loud or whatever. But Peter Warshaw, really great to bring up. Peter Warshaw, really dedicated environmentalist, wonderful, wonderful ally. A scientist and a poet, because those belong together. Mm-hmm. May they be, again, united once again. Mm-hmm. Did so much work on Mount Graham to protect the Mount Graham squirrels and many, many other things where the Vatican, it's Pope Francis's birthday. We're going to change a lot of things here. It's a hell of a birthday, Pope Francis. We thought you were wild before. Woo-hoo! You're on a stationing full moon, speaking the goddess out of your mouth, out of the Vatican. All kinds of things are available. But the Vatican wanted to be part of the great observatory on Mount Graham because they said if we find extraterrestrial life, we must convert them to Christianity. So it's like, oh, you trippy people, wealthy trippy people. But Peter Warshaw, yeah, because when I heard that he died, thank you. You know, I was Googling a lot of his great talks, and he gave a great talk on light. And it started off by saying light in nature. And he said, light and beauty and danger go together throughout our human journey. Mm-hmm. He says Fireflies have this beautiful light, and they can also mimic other insects. And when the insects go, how lovely, then the fireflies eat them. And he said, octopi in the ocean, they have bioluminescence. They attract bacteria that are light. And again, animals go, that is so beautiful. And then the octopus eats them. And he goes, you know, beauty and danger go together in this curious journey on this planet, which is why when you go to an art gallery, there's something missing. Where's the danger part? And we go, oh, it's a kind of Venus-Pluto thing. And then, you know, it's again this model that Peter was reminding me of, a wonderful, in Lewis Hyde's book on the trickster, he says, trickster becomes more cunning by encountering more cunning. The country rube is lucky if enough confidence men show up to school him. And this is very grand square. We embrace the conflict. Let's let every kerfuffle, again, shapeshift it metaphorically, let every kerfuffle in our lives be like giant grain of sand in our giant oyster selves going, we're going to make a bleeping pearl out of this thing. Now, again, the shapeshifting of the metaphor allows us to work with it. But Lewis Hyde, in cahoots with Peter Horschel, Lewis Hyde then, although Lewis is still breathing, he then quoted this great kind of 60-million-year, I'll make it really short, history of predator-prey on this planet. Why do we live on a planet where, you know, beautiful creatures eat beautiful creatures? Like, oh, the beautiful lion is tearing apart the beautiful sheep, you know, and vegans are like, ugh. But we go, why? It's a mystery. Why is there pain? Why is there cruelty? When he says, well, you know, we do not need certainty, but he was quoting an evolutionary biologist who was saying 60 million years ago, measuring intelligence, you know, only by, but still, by brain size to body ratio, although Michael Stalker brings in going, that's not the only one. He said, we want our brains to be convoluted. And I go, that's great. What does that mean? It means many, many folds. The more folds you have, the more surface area of the brain. And we become, our brains become convoluted by meeting adversity. It's our friend, really, if we're in the right trickster attitude. So I love the idea that convoluted is actually a great thing. You know, you're so convoluted. What a convoluted situation, meaning it's something bound to make us smarter. So it certainly is convoluted now, but bound to make us smarter. So 60 million years ago, predator much smarter than prey. Okay, and then we journey 30 million years later, predator still quite a bit smarter than prey, but everybody's smarter. And then we come to now, you know, everybody's smarter, it's closer, but predator's still smarter than prey, but everybody's smarter. And they say that the predator-prey relationship is one of the great engines of evolution on this planet, in which backstage, behind that agreement of eating and being eaten, is an ongoing living quality of intelligence emerging on this planet. You go, well, that's kind of cool to think about that. And humans might be able to resolve both in our psyches. When Jesus says, be as wise as serpents and as gentle as doves, we go, well, let's have both. You know, but we want, you know, even the kind of, you know, vegan beings, we want a little bit of kind of, you know, so even vegans, you know, want a little bit of wolf or coyote, you know, a little bit of that medicine, as well as the gentleness. It may be that what makes us unique as humans, aside from our rudeness, is our capacity to borrow and integrate in our being qualities of intelligence from other plants and animals on this planet. That might be what we're here to do. And it may be that now, the great adversity of now, is an evolutionary experiment that all humans become smarter, and how we define smarter is better able to cooperate with the intelligence of everybody else on this planet. You know, this is a great opportunity. So by naming the ancestors, yes, guide us into the ancestor song.
So this is from the Lakota tradition, and it is when they bring the pipe, the chanupa, out, and everyone shares in the pipe, and they say the names of their ancestors that they want to honor. So while I sing the chant, feel free to say out loud the names that you want to remember, your ancestors or any ancestor you want to remember.
All the people. unnamed, for all those whose bones lie beneath and upon this earth, we the living salute you. And they just found again ancient, late-breaking ancient news, 1.4 million-year-old hand bone, humanoid hand bone just found, the distinguishing ancestral hands. So we want to go, and thank you, distinguishing ancestral hands, going back 1.4 million years, 500,000 years earlier than was previously thought until this week. Everything's going further back, further back, further back. Mm. And that's part of the dynamic right now of Jupiter rising in the east with the moon, very beautiful, you know, as we step out into the sallying forth blessings into the world before we go forth, a diaspora. We are a simspora now. We're gathering together, and then a diaspora. You know, We send blessings to all on Jupiter rising, the moon and Jupiter together. Ooh. So Jupiter, god of wealth and abundance and stories and blessing and journeys. The journeyer is the cross-pollinating agent who brings blessings, like the Taoist rainbringer. You know, and we are willing to be that agent as well. Now Jupiter is retrograde, appearing to go backwards, which is about return, 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 go back deeper, deeper, deeper. And again, it's like Br'er Rabbit. There was times when all the creatures used to gather to sagacuate, just like there ain't been no falling out, like there ain't been no hard times, like they all remembered they were family. You know, good family, kin. You know, so Jupiter's in Cancer, family, kinship, remembering kinship and family, that we're all in this dream together. The resolving of small family kerfuffles, because Jupiter says, don't take your parents seriously. Take them as research projects. Yeah, what did our culture encourage or discourage in fill in the year you were born? You know, and look at your parents and go, oh, that was what was encouraged. And that apparently was not encouraged. And I'm, you know, and each one of us is here to animate the desirable. So Jupiter has a tricky dynamic, but it's a beautiful thing. Jupiter rising in the east right now is really within degrees trining Saturn, and Saturn has just moved degrees. Saturn's at 19 plus Scorpio now. The image for that is the woman drawing back two dark curtains leading to a sacred pathway. Oof. Which is why that degree of the zodiac was called by the grumpy men astrologers in the Middle Ages the accursed degree of the accursed sign, because they're like, women, power, fuh. We go, until now. So there's that. And also, it is... order in the court. So Jupiter, the tricky part of Jupiter says, I will make you wealthy by your definition of wealth. What do you want to feel like? And what do you want to feel like to others? You write it, we'll book it. Don't worry about how. But it is this responsibility. Because sometimes people come to the talks, like the talk about by an ears, and afterwards some, you know, psychic, psychotic person, because they're very close together, came up and go, trickster, trickster, it means I can do anything I want. I go, not so fast, young whippersnapper. disciplined wildness, what we call wildness, what we call wild animals, incredibly disciplined. Wolves are incredibly disciplined. So it says, you know, to reassume complicity, whatever's going on, we're complicitous. Not shame, not blame. It just means we're lending creative energy to whatever that story is. And once we acknowledge that, we can choose freedom to withdraw our complicity from a story and exhale that chi into a desirable story. You know, but we do want to acknowledge, you know. So, you know, it's like some people say, I was perfectly nice to that person, and they freaked out. And we go, yeah, maybe. You know, again, water signs, Scorpio rising people, you know, all of us on some level right now, too, is that, you know, we're all, NSA is like nothing. Everybody knows everything. If you walk by somebody and think, dingbat. They go, that is it. And you go, I was very polite. And we go, no, there's no secrets. You know, the energetic dynamic. It doesn't mean to not have critique, but it does mean critique and blessing. You know, so what do we want to feel like? And what do we want to feel like to others is part of our dynamic. We want to feel replenished. What do we want to feel like to others? Replenishing. We want to feel enthused. What do we want to feel like to others? Enthusing. Or any of that. I mean, there's no right answer. We can have a vast repertoire of responses. But this is part of our dynamic. You know, if tyranny and empire and dominance are going down and collaborate with everything is coming up, then we want to carry our tyrannometer with us to measure ourselves and others going, whoa, there's a flag on that play or on myself, you know. And we go, may it be, you know, for each one of us, that our manner of relating be an offering, liberating, rather than an imposition serves empire, no matter what label we stick on our ass, you know. So, you know, what do we want to feel like? And we go, you know, liberating. And so that's part of the art form. And Jupiter says, again, we'll book it. You know, we are the part of your psyche that is, you know, the booking agency. Don't worry about how will just depress you. It's not relevant. Jupiter and Uranus, very strong now, are the booking agent parts of our psyche. But to assume responsibility for what we want to feel like to others. And we're allowed to blow it, you know, and go, ooh, not so well, you know. But then to go back, I mean, in mythologies, all heroes blow it. Percival blows it at the Grail Castle, doesn't ask the question that will save the world. His shoes are thrown at him, you dingbat, you whatever. In fairy tales, people get eaten by the witch by not being respectful. And as Robert Bly says, you can get eaten by the witch, you know, but if it goes on for years, you'll get pretty thin, you know. So everybody blows it. There's no shame in blowing it. There's no shame even in having been a cruel predator. Milarepa, one of the great saints of Tibet, was a murderous highwayman. And becomes a great saint. There's no one beyond redemption, says so many people, even cops that I've hung out with, when you go backstage deeper, 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 and we go, no, everybody could be redeemed. You know, there are these private, surprising conversations. So that quality that we want to kind of bring into play as agents, dedicated agents of Trickster Redeemer. But Jupiter says, I'm going to make everything bigger. Here comes the tricky part. So again, no shame, no blame, whatever we're working with, we can blow it, but then rededicate. And part of that is I love detective novels. Excuse me. detective novels are striving to come out. Going, oh. I like noir. I do. Because it's a mythic form. You know, the five-act storytelling structure is here we are. Off we go. Oops. Evil. The wedding, the kiss, the redemption. But you got to go through the whole cycle, the whole five-act structure. You know, Hollywood tries to either end with act four, you know, rape, oppression, blow it up, big bang, testosterone, fantasy thing. You know, oh, life is evil, there, go home, feel better. So it ends with act four. It's like, you come back here and finish act five. Or it skips act four and tacks on a little happy ending, but it hasn't been earned. There's no power to it. You know, it's like people who go, peace, peace. So the detective novel, you know, follows that dynamic. And going back to the originating impulse, I was going, when did the first detective novels happen? Well, as far back as I can go, 221 BC was a really happening time in China for detective novels. And it was always about restoring humans to be in accord with the mandate of heaven. Mm-hmm. That was always the investigation of crime, was to restore harmony. You know, and that's really the basic kind of model of detective novels. We love that thing. And so going back there. So Jupiter says, I'm going to make everything bigger. Whatever you don't want bigger, throw it into the cauldron before the night's end or ongoing, you know, try this at home. Going, I think I've gotten all the good out of, you know, fill in the blank, you know, disappointments. You know, because there are these word choices, too. You know, I mean, so many people were saying, oh, Obama, I'm so disappointed. And it's like, is there no other word? What a talking point. And I go, do you really want to keep affirming dis means underworld, appointed? You know, the word disappointed means I am powerless in the underworld. Do you really want to keep affirming that? I'm powerless in the underworld, and I'm having tantrum yoga. Thank you. A penny in your jar, Steve Behrman. So in the word demand, too, I'm always working with Code Pink and the street people going, change the words, just a little bit. Small changes, big effect. Speak truth to power. See, it's still kind of like, yeah, I dare you, hit me. How about speak truth, be power? That's truer. Right. It's truer. You know, what do we want? Peace. What do we want? Better chance. You know, when do we want it? Now. What are we creating? Peace. When are we creating it? Now. Why fool around? You know, cooperators standing by. So that model of bringing that in. So no one did this more wonderfully than Nelson Mandela, in many ways. Although I even got a grouchy email about that from some, you know, my progressive, pretty progressive email list, and somebody said, it sent out the full moon over, you know, as Mandela is being laid to rest, how powerful and beautiful, what a great embodiment of a positive Saturn, that part of his medicine, and Obatala, and also High John, you know, because he was, for many reasons, he stepped in to spiral. Extraordinary. And somebody sent back going, he was a dangerous, communist, violent person, you know, and it's like, you know, and we also want to train, you know, whether we're in public or catching flack or on Facebook or whatever, which is when to engage and when to not engage. And it was like, no, tar baby alert, going, no, time to turn the computer off. Because you can see on Facebook and Twitter, which have great, you know, again, like community, you can be alienated or can be, did you know about this thing that we must do, which is great. But you can see on these collective things, you know, when the whole thing starts to shift and, you know, and you go, and it's like, oh, time to go home about a half hour ago. Whoa. Or you can stay in to and fro in this polarity. But then, you know, that's what you wake up thinking about the next morning going, that person did that. And it's like, no, we're composting that. But Mandela, you know, and I did go to Robben Island at the insistence of my South African friend when I was there going, he said, you've got to go because you will feel, you know, you will feel the spiritual technology that Mandela and his cohorts had to create to survive, you know, for the sake of themselves and the world. And when he got back, when I got back, he said, "Did you feel it? Did you feel it?" And I go, "I don't presume, you know, big thing." But I did, you know, wonder with about, you know, riding on that boat, you know, to that windswept, barren rock of an island with a life sentence over your head. What would that have been like? And Ishmael said, "But you know." Nelson Mandela, Madiba, and his colleagues, they were singing as though it were nothing. And what part of what Mandela did, and this is very important to us now, is that he saw, you know, in 1952, he said to his friends, I'm going to be president of a democratic South Africa. In 1952, this is a man like High John the Conqueror of long vision. And he knew he was going to be free. After 27, he knew he was going to be free at some time, 27 years. Sometimes we don't know how long it's going to take. But may we be long-visioned people, you know, again, planting seeds of long vision. Maybe it's this 27, 28-year Saturn cycle. Maybe it's longer, further out. Because when we talk to oppositional people, you know, it's the idea of these false oppositions of pragmatism, you know, and realism, or idealism and pragmatism. They are very happy together. Idealism and pragmatism, if we just look a little further down the tracks, you know, they wed. You know, the rainforest worth, you know, even in crude economic terms, more money as a rainforest than as two seasons of Burger King. Just a little further, extending the vision. So Nelson really did that. And he practiced. He held himself with Saturn dignity. And he's a Cancer, like the Dalai Lama. These men who love home, who have no home. Powerful. And I loved my ancestor, J.J. Jacobs, come on in, who just, Cancer's just a Scorpio and a house coat. which is true. It's a great astrological joke for any Cancers undercover here. Because they lead with like, oh, was a. was a. Yeah. I'm in a bathrobe, but I'm just so the Dalai Lama and Nelson Mandela, you know, very strong, positive Cancer men. And Ishmael said the miracle of Nelson Mandela emerging non-bitter, the miracle. Because again, the obvious reaction in South Africa, everybody has something to be bitter about, and many, many are. But the miracle of having every reason to be bitter and to choose not to be, that's incredible mojo. And we go, oh, yes, come on in to us that way. So he, when walking with his guards, he always held his rhythm. They had to kind of trot to keep up. And he made a special point of the more cruel and barbaric the guard, the more he dedicated to being their friend. And he said he did that to demonstrate to himself that when he was outside, and he knew he would be, that he could do that in the larger geopolitical field. Mm. Right. Again, trickster steps in. You know, we say, are we willing, you know, to go really radical, to throw into the cauldron, this winter solstice cauldron, our addiction to having an enemy? Mm-hmm. Now, let's do that. You know, go, what if we had no enemy? What if we understood it backstage? Now, you know, we all get our goats got. But, you know, I go to, again, you know, right-wing gatherings and all. You know, and I was, you know, I have some curious, well, inner dedication magnetizes outward path. And that's part of the now. Inward dedication, you go, I guess I will go to this, you know, hedge fund party, although I only understand hedgehog funds. You know, going this abstract money, making abstract buildings all glass and neo-modern, and this abstraction of even bitcoins and all, very abstract. Where's the sensual intimacy? How do we make money intimate again? How do we understand money as water? All of our metaphors for money are all water, currency, cash flow, liquidity, rising tide lifts all boats. You know, all of that, it's all water. And so we want to slow water down and create containers for it and have it circulate slowly through neighborhoods and irrigate everything, as opposed to being sucked out of the neighborhood by liquor stores and sports stadiums. Mm-hmm. We want to poke holes in it and, again, have it circulate so that watery thing.
Yeah. That's right.
So, again, there's the miracle of Nelson Mandela and the idea of always keeping, well, the crucial correspondence and the power of music, and we're about to have another beautiful ally, our friend Jessica Radcliffe, to give us word and music in a moment, in a perfect time. But it's the call and response. So Nelson Mandela, long dedicated vision. Again, there was great. It was a school. All the ANC leaders were there. They talked strategy. They talked as though it were a college. They shapeshifted the prison into a meeting of strategists. Powerful mojo. You know, the walls disappeared and they sang. You know, and at the same time as they were singing and dedicating, the world outside, children, you know, were singing "Free Nelson Mandela," and the world out there, you know, just was singing this. And they focused on him as a symbol, but it was, again, it's like as lightning strikes, you know, there's a corresponding upsurge from the earth. So each one of us, as we get a dedicated mojo, there's a correspondence, you know, a call and response that comes back to us. Nelson wanted to be free. The world wanted him to be free as a real thing and also as a symbol of freedom. And the first things, again, everyone was wondering, what will he say? What will he say? And it was Margaret Thatcher who told de Klerk that she had to free Nelson Mandela. You never know. You never know. No, for bad reasons. But what I also forgot to say several minutes ago is at the CPAC summit, the hedge fund thing, and I'm watching one of Obama's State of the Union addresses, and I'm upstairs in the wealthy bedroom, you know, because I watch with charts and astrological charts, and I'm kind of tracking the mythic news. And he is very mythologically tapped in. He quoted High John the Conqueror in his speech in Race. You know, we got to find a way out of no way. That's what's said of the trickster redeemer, that High John the Conqueror, he found a way out of no way, and he hit a straight lick with a crooked stick. And so Obama actually said the first half of that quote, and he embodied the second half. His speech on race, he hit a straight lick with a crooked stick. And it's like, wow, he's quoting High John the Conqueror, the trickster redeemer god of the South. And so as I was tracking him, every time a Sabian symbol would rise on the ascendant, you know, because I'm tracking with all, you know, he would give it voice. He is incredibly, you know, there's many, many levels. Whatever we speak to in another is what we're inviting to dance. When we judge somebody, we're inviting the least interesting part of them to dance with the least interesting part of us. You know, again, most of us shamed out of our magic mojo hand. We're born, we look around, we're magic people. We go, ooh, not welcome here. Let me tie my magic hand behind my back and then forget that I did that until we go, God, life is really hard with one arm. Then you go, wait a minute. You know, and I have another arm. It's my magic mojo. Invite in whatever is needed. We don't have to source the thing, but invite it in. What a relief. And that's what we're doing, a Houdini tonight, too, going, glad. So that's also, you know, to be effective, you know, again, to the one thing that good-hearted people need is their magical willingness. Magic simply means a willingness to cooperate with everything. You know, so the first thing that Madiba said, so I'm sitting, and I'll get this story out here. So I'm sitting on the bed watching this thing with the charts, and somebody comes and sits on the bed next to me to watch. And I go, and it's Grover Norquist. I'm like, oh, my God. you know, and then he does this curious thing, because things operate on a number of, I had my astrological charts on the floor, kind of looking at everything. So he gets up to go to the bathroom, and he stands on the charts, and he does a little kind of shuffling, weird dance. I go, are you going to pee on it, too? What a curious little thing. And so, again, I go, oh, charts, come up through the soles of his feet and animate this guy. And I said to my friend who got me into this, because we model, everybody's got a role in the mystery play. And I go, okay, what's Grover's role? And he says, Grover's going to destroy the military-industrial complex. And I go, okay, I can go for that. because he's, you know, right-wing dingbat and shrink government down and do many terrible things and, you know, whatever. But he is after military waste. So we go, no, drop that, Grover over. Destroy the government and horrible metaphor, you know. No, not that. See, we discourage, but then we encourage. Not that. But we don't stay with not that. You go, not that, but over here. Remember, in Lord of the Rings, it's Gollum's overreaching, his insane overreaching, that is crucial to throwing the Ring of Power back into the crack of doom. Everyone's got a role in the mystery play. So as the sanctions began to spread, you know, about South Africa, the South African apartheid government was worried, like, uh-oh, what are we going to do? And Margaret Thatcher said, you got to let Mandela out. He's an old man. What could he possibly do? So thank you, Maggie, you little dingbat. You know, so he comes out and people go, oh, okay, what's it going to do? And in the first words he says, you know, publicly, he says, I greet you all in the name of peace, democracy, and freedom for all. Mm-hmm. So, Jessica, do you want to come speak and sing beauty to us?
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. Mm-hmm. From beautiful darkness celebrating the winter solstice, I will begin and then sing a little song. Worship in the wind, a rumble of hosanna in the rock, liquid silver voices in the waves, the crackle of forever in the fire, brighter than my brightest remembering, holy days, whole nights, dark of the year, inside, outside, all the same, everything waits to take the next breath. Death of before, birth of ever after. Beautiful darkness when I am alone. Beautiful darkness that carries me home. Here in the darkness, I'm always at home. Beautiful, beautiful darkness. Sometimes I feel my heart will break. It never does. It never does. As if by breaking it would make the most of love, the most of love. And little do I understand why pain and love go hand in hand, or why the beauty of a song can touch and keep my heart so strong. Oh, we are but a moment here, and in a moment we are gone. But every moment that we share becomes eternal with a song. And when I feel my heart so full that it will break or overflow, then it will overflow in song and never break, but only grow. Thank you. Thank you, Carolyn.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Beautiful, powerful, great. Jessica Radcliffe, CD's in the back. So, yes. So we're in the watery deep realm, and that's a beautiful guiding us to the deep, in a sense, the positive act for, you know, poignancy is kinship, you know, and grief guides us to kinship with all things. So, did you want to yamayas? Mm-hmm. The Great Mother embraces us all.
Yemaya asesu, asesu yemaya, yemaya asesu, asesu yemaya, yemaya olodo, olodo yemaya. Barawayo yemaya olodo, olodo yemaya, yemaya asesu, asesu yemaya, yemaya asesu. Asesu yemaya, yemaya olodo, olodo yemaya barawayo, yemaya olodo, olodo yemaya.
So we're guided into the watery realms. Watery realms. Thank you. So Yamaya is the great ocean, and so many of the chants, Yamaya Olodo, but also Kai Kai Kai, Yamaya Olodo. And what they mean is how wonderful mother's house is in the ocean. My mother is an anchor in the storm. And part of the mystery of the winter solstice is, you know, Daniel Gemario found that one of the earliest images for Capricorn, the sun enters Capricorn on Saturday, was the council of grandmothers dedicated to the next seven generations. That's one of its original impulses. We're here to give Capricorn a better name. Pragmatic mystics. But the realm of the great mother, the great protective mother, and the water, because now we're in the realm of Neptune, dreams, feeling, the ocean. We're all in this dream together. We're all in this ocean together. So this yearning, and the water, so water connects us to everything. When I was in beautiful Syria in Aleppo that had for 2,500 years been a continuous marketplace until now, but we had many great guides, and one of them took us to the heart of the souk, 2,500 years old. The center of the souk was a spring, and they said this was the first mental health hospital. And people were healed by the sound of water. The sound of water heals us. You know, again, Neptune dreams, vision, the ocean. It says, for as long as we have memory in our bones, probably for 1.4 million years and longer, you know, human imagination has been tied to the sea. And we say, what species would poison the sea? You know, only a species that had lost its sense of conscious kinship and the mythology and the songs to guide us to that. So only the healing of human imagination can heal the sea, and only the healing of the sea can heal human imagination. They're in accord. So water in Aleppo. But Neptune, again, these wonderful associative ideas, dreams, vision, metaphors. Metaphor means to carry across, metaphor. A metaphor crosses borders. A metaphor is, again, the incarnational realm. Power enters the world by the power of metaphors. It's why, again, great ancestor John O'Donohue, great keeper of the power of blessing, says blessing is an art form that we would do well. We want to become mythologically literate again and blessing literate. And part of what we need from the Middle East, we say, the oppressor is always seeking the medicine of that which he oppresses. You know, England really needed the metaphysic of India. America really needs the beauty underneath the Middle East, the power of blessing. You know, engages in what Deborah Felmuth and I call blessing poker. You know, the day, the actual day in the Middle East is woven together by blessing. You know, may it go well for you and for you, my brother. You know, and may, you know, orange blossoms be scattered across your path. And I see your blessing and raise you one. May orange blossoms and pomegranate wafting around you. And again, may your lovers suck your toes. And may, and I see your blessing. Blessing, reciprocal blessing. You can say, Islamu idain. You know, may the divine bless your hands that have made such beauty, you know, handmade beauty. So John O'Donohue says, you know, it's about sensual. The metaphor wants to be sensual. And the basic template of blessing is when this, then may this. You know, when your boat is sinking in rough water, then may the moon spin a silver pathway upon which you may safely tread to shore. And when the ghost of loss stands behind you as you gaze out the window, then may the ancestors place a cloak around your shoulders that will mend your life. You know, and may it be that the ancestors, you know, Obama's ancestors and all the animals and plants that have lived on this planet and his wonderful, extraordinary mother place a cloak of guiding earth wisdom around his shoulders, you know. Composed of all of the ants, animals and plants, you know. Again, this powerful mojo. And, you know, in working with my own trickster training, adorable council on Monday nights, ask me later, you can join. But I realized, you know, for myself as well, you know, Americans have lost metaphoric literacy and therefore one of our skill sets, you know, that we want to activate. Because people were pretty good at when this bad thing, but when this good thing, it got all abstract. You know, then may enlightenment, then may you be happy. It's like, no. Where's the cloak, the pathway, the mango, the sensual incarnation of the power of words to invite power into the world, you know? So again, abstraction into sensual intimacy, which is, I think, part of what we want to do tonight, too, is to throw old, tired language and old, tired metaphors into the cauldron. You know, I think it's time for me, certainly, to throw the metaphor of the wound into the cauldron, unless you're bleeding and on the way to the hospital, you know, and then it's not a metaphor, you know, because there's so many other ways. We would go, that was useful, it had a good run, you know, but give it a rest, you know. And I think the words racism and sexism are tired. I don't think they serve conversation. I think they stop it. More better to give an example. Did you notice, you know, that the names of the Iraqi dead were not mentioned? There you got it. You know, when, you know, again, the story, you know, people, you know, so it's about, you know, why Sarah James says, don't call the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge ANWR, because if we call it ANWR, we'll destroy it. If you turn it into an abstract acronym, it makes it easier to kill it. It is not, you know, you've got enough energy to say the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge, you know. The universe loves words, you know, rather than the, because, you know, then you're talking government war talk, you know. You know, NETCOM and DEFTING and whatever, you know, put the full word, you know. So we are magnetizing metaphor into matter mojo. To put that in your pipe and smoke it. So Neptune, again, so the idea also of, you know, sexism, rather than use the word, give an example. Because that ties everybody into a story, the power of the storyteller going, oh, and the black, you know, Southern Christian teachings that says there's no one we couldn't love if we really knew their story. That's a great assignment. It's arduous, but it's a worthy one, and that's why we make dedications, so we can do the impossible. You know, I am willing, you know, I'm willing to, you know, guide me to know somebody's story. Guide me to that all of us are issued in our magic backpacks, a harumphitude composter, so that before we speak to another person, we compost our harumphitude, so we can speak and invite the better part of them rather than, you know, go, right, and it behooves us as agents of dynamic peace, you know, to be willing to go in this direction. And the auspices are so strong that for every step we take, we get drawn along three, you know. But if we don't do anything, then nothing, you know. Again, that's why we want to, you know, we hoisted our sails of willingness, as we will do again, you know, so that we can catch the wind. Otherwise, wind comes, wind goes. You know, the great spiritual leaders, Marie Laveau, the great voodoo queen of New Orleans, it was said of her, she did not create spiritual movements or cultural movements, but a woman of her substance understood what was at stake. she saw a role to be played and played it to the hilt, helping to coalesce a scattered and oppressed people into a moment of dynamic ecstasy. So we don't have to create cultural movements. These things, all of creation, you know, the animals and the plants, they're just hoping the humans are willing to collaborate, going, we're waiting here, we're waiting here. We don't have to create the thing. It wants to happen. We want to offer ourselves as willing agents of the best that wants to happen. And we need everyone. And we want to become inviting messengers. You know, we need everybody. We need the awakened imagination and ingenuity of, you know, libertarian, right-wing, golfing, crazy people. We need inner city youth. We need everyone's imagination and to find the unifying story. We want an ingenuity renaissance. You know, and that's where, you know, again, you can metaphorically cross the border, where Tea Party and Occupy have a lot to talk about. And to appeal to the ornery, disobedient, creative spirit, you know, going, yeah, we need it, you know. So it's good. It's one of my favorite etymologies of this last year, which is the word ecstatic means to stand outside, ecstasis. And so again, you know, talking with peace activists who are all fighting with each other, of course, because they tied their magic hand behind their back until now. Okay, they're going, oh, those people don't give me enough respect in that organization. Whatever, and I go, that's because you have an ecstatic relationship. And they're like, yeah. So again, find and replace wayfish exclusion and exile, and replace it with ecstatic. And it's time for the ecstatic beings and the ecstatic part of ourselves to journey home. And in all the fairy tales, you know, the hero, heroine leaves the court, leaves the family, got to do the thing. You know, our word sacred comes from saker, and it was an admonition outside of Greek and Roman villages. It says, if you go past this point, you are saker. You are on your own without the support of the community, and we don't recommend it. So to be sacred, and an act of community defiance, to go do the taboo thing, as you all did to get here. I'm going to climb the sacred mountain, the elders told me not to, and then return bringing the richness. The sacred person leaves the community, but remember, it's not, oh, I'm excluded, I'm an exiled waif. It's like, no, we chose to do that, and now we choose to return. You know, it's said of King Arthur and also High John the Conqueror that they did not die. They went, you know, King Arthur went to Avalon to take Pilates classes or whatever with women, you know, until the world's call for the positive masculine green guy to return to dance with the equal powerful feminine. You know, High John the Conqueror, the great trickster redeemer of the South, you know, it says he goes to live in High John the Conqueror root, which is a wonderful thing to carry around, until the world's call. We go, now would be really good, you know, doot-doot-doot. Let us be artists of atmosphere. Neptune is the atmosphere that guides culture, that's invisible. It's like the fog coming in. It's invisible at first, but it sets the template for the possible. So just because you can't see it, you know, and it's what I like to call the memosphere. So the, you know, so when people go, bleh, 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 or Obama, bleh, bleh, and we go, then it's our job to create the atmosphere where the desirable can happen. You know, all of us. And that's where the music and the art and the creativity, you know, art and storytelling reassume cultural leadership. That sane reverence once again reassume cultural leadership in the narrative. You know, part of it is magic. You know, see, when we make our dedication, you know, when Jupiter says, what do you want to feel like, you know, and so years ago I go, fame, no, but influential, yes. I want to be influential. And I leave it to whatever, about whether that's backstage or on stage or whatever. Making the dedication magnetizes the path and frames the story that whatever opportunity is granted is the right one. Why we're all here. You know, so in collaborative cahoots with nature to animate the guiding cultural narrative and spiral it into the memosphere. Because we here, right now, no one here is under threat. We have the capacity to cultivate responses and to stream it into group mind, because no one we love has been killed in front of us in the last hour. And that is a responsibility. I mean, literally, ability to respond. If empire is dominance, you know, and renaissance is collaborate with everything, then to react to anything is to be not free. In fact, it's to carry around a portable prison for oneself and for others. To cultivate an ever larger repertoire of responses is to ally ourselves with nature's evolutionary ingenuity and to be a liberator as we go forth rather than an imprisoner. And so again, we make that dedication. We go, all right, may it be so. You know, that it is the memosphere that is the realm of cultural influence for the trickster redeemer within us all to create this. And it's especially great because, you know, realistic dingbats don't believe in it, so it's even more stealthily effective. So we go, fine, you don't believe it. Again, Gene Hackman in Enemy of the State, a great role where he's an NSA renegade. Because, again, see, there's a great turning of heart. I'm meeting with military people leaving the military who really want to be dedicated to sustainable energy and making peace. And they really want veterans offered, jobs of protecting life upon their return. There are allies everywhere. And so we want, if we go, we hate prejudice, well, let's explore what prejudice really means, prejudging. It means to have an opinion before knowledge. And it's so American, I have the right to an opinion, no matter how ill-informed, within 10 seconds of hearing about something, which is why we want to throw into the cauldron the whole, do you approve or disapprove? It's like the gods go, we don't give a bleep about whether you approve or disapprove about anything. Are you willing to cooperate with everything? So approval, disapproval is a trivializing, mean prison. Do you approve of this or disapprove of it? Let me think. I hate it. I love it. I hate it. It doesn't matter. Are you willing to collaborate with that thing? So we go, yes, we are. And when we're in the watery realm, we will have opportunity shortly to throw many things into the cauldron. But I saw a beautiful, beautiful show on PBS on Islamic art and water, and that it's all inspired by water. So people go, Islam and Muslims are very terrible in the Middle East for women. We go, that's one true story. That is one true story. But there are many stories. And Jupiter reminds us there's 20, 30, 40 stories going on every minute, and they can all be true and all be contradictory. Which ones are we going to vote to animate? And we go, that's one true story. Or like when people love a movie that I hated, I go, I love the movie you saw. Whatever. So water in Islam. So Islamic art is all curvy. It's all snaky. It's all curvy. The snake is there. The feminine undulation is there in the undulating. The call to prayer is so full of incredible yearning. It's so beautiful. And it reminds us that anything that's anywhere is everywhere, somewhere. So the feminine suppressed, but the art is all. It's like my late great friend. He died this year. J. Arnall. He said, if you Google the Kaaba, which is the stone, which was a pagan stone and then inhaled by Islam, if you Google it, you will see a picture of the Kaaba. And right where everyone kisses is an inlaid silver yoni. It's amazing, really. It was put there to hold the stone together, but it is a silver yoni, and it's right where everyone kisses. And he goes, once again, it's men worshiping mom and calling it dad. Thank you, Jay. So Islamic art is all watery, and again, like in Aleppo, the sound of water heals. Our word paradise means, in Persian, it means walled garden, where you're brought into intimacy because you can hear the water, and you're right up with the orange blossoms and the fragrance, and you're in intimate. Paradise means intimacy by having a container in which you cultivate beauty. And over again in mythology, it says, dedicated acts of beauty invite power into the world. Dedicated acts of beauty trump tyranny every time. And we see that over and over in all of the Inanna myths and all of that. If you survive the underworld like Inanna, when you get back, you earn the right to be a cultural trickster redeemer. When Venus, again, stationing now, when Venus, Inanna, because the Inanna myth is the Venus astronomical orbital cycle. But when she goes to the underworld, and the earlier, so we go further back. Persephone was not raped. That's a much later story. Women learned how to go down to a deep initiatory place as maiden return queen. We want to be creatively suspicious, to go further back. So Inanna, she's going to a funeral in the underworld. It's the funeral of the old age that's passing, and it's still an arduous thing. But when she gets back, one day she is contemplating the wonders of her own vulva, going, ah, it's so fabulous to be a woman. Look at all of this. And the idea occurs to her that she will steal human culture back from Enki, the god of wisdom, who has stolen human culture and left empty, toxic mimics in its place, empty celebrity hoo-ha. My words, but it's the gist of it. So it's very hip of the Sumerians 2,500 years ago to say anybody unchallenged, even the god of wisdom, will become tyrannical. Harvard, spiritual teacher, anything like that. Again, Coyote needs, you know, to develop cunning by encountering more cunning and adversity. You know, anything unchallenged will become tyrannical. And so Inanna sails to Enki, and being a woman trickster redeemer, again, alive within all hearts, regardless of our temporary gender, race, and age assignment, she doesn't go, grr, I'm a hero. She gets him drunk on poetry and beauty and fantastic liquor. And as he gets drunk, he gives back to her, and spliffs probably, I give back to you. And he goes, this is good stuff. And he gives back, and he leads with the erotic arts. I give back to you the erotic arts. And she goes, I take that. And then comes, you know, real estate and architecture and science and whatever. And she puts them all in her boat and sails back and redeems humanity. And then they can have a wise renaissance. Well, that's part of where we are in the dynamic. Those who survive the underworld earn the right to be trickster redeemer agents in the world, like Inanna. So we go, dedication, you know, magnetizes opportunity. The Grail legend reminds us, you know, it starts with the world is ill, the king is dying because of inauthenticity, because people are married to people they don't love, because they've outsourced, my word, modern word, but they've outsourced authority. So it says inauthenticity, this is in the Grail legend, inauthenticity arises when people look to external authority for internal guidance. So we're insourcing what we've been outsourcing. This is the solstice is about the death of old models of leadership. We are withdrawing our complicity from having outsourced leadership to tyrannical psychopathic dingbats. Bless their hearts. But it's our responsibility to inhale back and to insource that and then say this is what we're, which is why the word inauguration, again, looking up words is fabulous. It comes from the augur, the diviner, who would walk out into nature and nature would reveal the responsible human and then they would be inaugurated. All these words have great magical mojo. There's real meaning to them. So we want to be doing that. Yes, we've covered Harumphitude Composter. That's excellent. We've done that very, very well. More things, positive dedication, this full moon. We got the gist of that. Okay. The ally thing, that's very good. We got it. Because eloquence, you know, this full moon that happened, you know, as Uranus stationed and went direct, you know, in Gemini, again, may we be agents of giving voice and playful voice. Because if things are going down and things are coming up, then we want to be inviters. We want to be artists of inviting. Come on over from the thing that's going down to the thing that's coming up. Come on over. Come on over. And if somebody doesn't want to, you go, well, yeah. You know, Alan Watts says, no sense clinging to the rocks that are falling with you. You know, come on over to this thing. You know. So eloquent, the word eloquent means to speak out, you know, A-A-X, loquo, to speak out, you know, and then to be dedicated to eloquence. In indigenous culture, eloquence, the cultivation of effective speech and poetry is essential to leadership or to being a contributing person. We did that. What I love also, again, from Michael Gruber's esoteric thriller novels, they're pretty good, but one of his characters comes to understand to love disharmony back into harmony creates a greater harmony than existed before. And it's just, again, put in magic backpack to pull that thing out, you know. How do we become agents of loving, you know? And again, it's part of the evolution, like, you know, predator prey, you know, everybody's getting, in that dance, everybody's getting smarter. So we have kerfuffles, but to love this disharmony back into harmony could take the whole thing. The whole thing. You know, we not causing it, we participating in what wants to happen, you know, with the trees and the everything. Interesting, you know, just sort of distinction. There's somebody who's a physicist, kind of I forgot what his title is, a quantum activist, Amit Goswami. But he's, again, a bridger of Indian metaphysics and, you know, PhD science, you know, influential grown-up guy. And he says, you know, because I came from India, I was not handicapped like my other scientific brethren. I was not frightened of spirituality. You know, and again, to be liberators in some way, but he says, you know, there's the invisible, everything kind of perfect, and then we invite it into specificity. But he says the difference about, say, movies like The Secret or whatever, where these things get kind of, you know, mine. You know, I want a car. You know, I mean, because Jupiter in Cancer says, you know, it is, in cahoots with Saturn is really good because one of the a main theme in fairy tales is the wise use of magical wishes. You know, and it's a very big deal. You know, why in the never-ending story, you know, the young boy hero, he's got three magical wishes, and the evil Zandara sorceress has tricked him out of two. He's only got one left. He's only got one magical wish left to save the world. What's he going to do? I wish for you to have a heart, Zandara. Oh, perfect. Can't do it. So Jupiter says, anything you want, but think about it, you know. And so some people get Jupiter transits first, going, anything I want a pink Mercedes, and a, you know, and I want to drive like a real, oh, never mind. Okay, you know, and then they get Saturn transits later, and they go, what was I thinking? You know, so we're getting Saturn, Jupiter together, deep reflection. What is it we want? And what the quantum physicist Amit Goswami says, the flaw in that popularization, that kind of toxic mimic of actual spirituality, is a desire, if it's in accord with what is good for all people. You know, anything that one wants becomes a blessing that would wish that for everyone. We want a house, may all beings have shelter. You know, we want to whatever, you know, in accord. You know, in accord. And I think that's an important distinction. So we can use the, you know, I chanted and I got this thing, you know, and we go, yeah, it's kind of a booby prize, isn't it? Because you only did was lose your heart and soul. Okay, but so I think we want these distinctions. So we move to throwing things into the cauldron, Ho'oponopono in Hawaiian, cook everything back to its originating impulse and offer it a fresh template and ladle it out, offer it the desirable story. We say the world is an agreement in which we're constantly creatively complicitous. Go, yes. So in that realm, back to originating impulse, cooking everything back. And so the cauldron, the longest night in a moment here. Okay. It's a chant that I learned from Starhawk in 1981. It's a really good one. The longest night, the longest nights, the wheel is turning. What will we give to the night? And then we get to shout out, what we'd like gone with the night, you know, trivial or large. I have some suggestions before we begin, but people shout out and then, you know, ignorance, you know, whatever. And then we all go, ignorance is gone with the night. Somebody made me this cute hat at last night's thing. We go, it's kind of perfect because we're welcoming the return of the sun. And so we say the sacred chant, hail to the sun god. He is a fun god. Ra, ra, ra. And then somebody at the craft fair gave me this fantastic little death rattle. We go, yeah. It's a positive death rattle to heal all actual death rattles. Conversation, you know, vernacular, everything speaking to us all the time with one of my wonderful hosts. You know, and we were talking about false accusation and how we remembered as a child being falsely accused of something. And really, we could all remember it specifically. Because I was like, oh, I remember two times when my grandmother said I was lying and I wasn't lying. And I remember when a teacher in school said, you didn't write this or draw this, did you? And it's like, I did. And I brought up, you know, Truffaut's great film, L'Enfant Sauvage, where they found a wild child that had no human contact for its first 16 years. And they studied it like mean scientists in France. It was a true story. And they would, the man, the scientist studying him, taking notes, would, you know, have rules. And when he broke a rule, he'd get punished by being locked in a closet, which he hated. And then he said, I wonder what would happen if I punished him for no reason. What would happen? And the child goes, crazy. You know, because it's like, no, how could you? No, I did not even do your stupid thing. I mean, and this theme of false accusation, and so many people, the Innocence Project, so many people in prison, false accusation. So I think false accusation is good to put into the cauldron. I think that's good. Giving up addiction to enemy, good. You know, hyper yang death frenzy, we might want to put into the cauldron, you know. So let's set forth.
All right.
The longest night, the wheel is turning. What will we give to the night?
False accusation. False accusation is gone with the night. The longest night, the wheel is turning. What will we give to the night?
Fear.
Fear is gone with the night. The longest night, the wheel is turning. What will we give to the night? Hyper yang death frenzy. Hyper yang death frenzy is gone with the night. The longest night, the wheel is turning. What will we give to the night?
Shame.
Shame is gone with the night. The longest night the wheel is turning. What will we give to the night? Greed. Greed is gone with the night. The longest night the wheel is turning. What will we give to the night? Desperation is gone with the night. The longest night the wheel is turning. What will we give to the night? Self-doubt is gone with the night. The longest night the wheel is turning. What will we give to the night?
Jumping to conclusions.
Jumping to conclusions is gone with the night. The longest night the wheel is turning. What will we give to the night?
The illusion of separation.
The illusion of separation is gone with the night. The longest night the wheel is turning. What will we give to the night? Unbalance is gone with the night. The longest night the wheel is turning. What will we give to the night?
Guilt.
Guilt is gone with the night. The longest night the wheel is turning. What will we give to the night? Stand and defend is gone with the night. All right. The longest night the wheel is turning. What will we give to the night?
Half-hearted.
Disappointment. Disappointment is gone with the night. The longest night the wheel is turning. What will we give to the night? Credit card debt. Credit card debt is gone with the night. The longest night the wheel is turning. What will we give to the night?
Apocalypse.
The apocalypse. The apocalypse is gone with the night. Whoa, that's a good one. That might be a good one. All right, wait. One more. Okay. So we'll do it one more time, and then just everybody shout out everything that you want gone with the night. The longest night, the wheel is turning. What will we give to the night? Oh, greed and imbalance and fear and self-doubt and weediness and aloneness and waifishness. Waifishness is gone with the night.
Everything's gone with the night.
Everything's in there. Oh, well done, team. Very well done. So now, of course, we have our animating metaphors. Okay, so we know, we've done, you know, Uranus or Oya says, you know, I will connect you with everything as long as you're willing, and we did, we're willing. Neptune says, we are dissolving certainty. Neptune says, solve e coagula, dissolve everything and reframe it. You know, so many people at crossroads not knowing. In ancient mind, not knowing was a fantastic accomplishment. Mm. Look, these humans have run out of certainty. Now the divine can speak directly to them. Modern world, kind of a game of musical chairs. You know, it's all kind of collapsing. You know, music ends, everybody scrambles for a chair. The ancient part of us goes, I never wanted to play musical chairs. We're going free range. Whoa. So Neptune says, we recommend you run on the fuel of wonder, because whatever you wonder about will attract the lightning of revelation. Mm. So wonder, without bonking your neighbor, wonder. Wonder turns our body into a beseeching chalice of invitational inquiry. Okay, and then so we know, and we also have the arrow. So just for the fun of it, let's stand up and do our little mudra, our Coyote Network News thing, going, all right, we're willing.
We're willing.
We're wondering.
We're wondering.
We're pulling an arrow out, and we're putting it in the bow, and we're letting it go. Futum. All right, one more time. We're willing.
We're willing.
We're wondering.
We're wondering.
And we're letting the arrow go. Futum. All right. And we're going to customize it just in a rapid way, but take this home and practice it. You know, again, the ancestors are willing to place a cloak of combined, syncretized, trickster, guiding wisdom around each heart, around our shoulders. So just kind of come on in, whether it's known or unknown, things you admire in nature that you'd like to be more like, that you'd like to guide your path. Nom, 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 nom. And then we will be led by you and your beautiful song, and have one closing finale thing to say.
Yes, everyone can dance their animal that you just.
You can dance your animal, or not, or just, you know, whatever, freedom.
Oya kaka chango predula ye, oya kaka. Oya kaka chango predula ye, oya kaka. Chango predu samayo ma samayo ma samayo ma samayo ma samayo ma samayo. As we walked through the forest and danced the drums by firelight, we could feel our spirits soaring, sailing upwards into the night. As we sang all our chants to Odisha, native spirit, Hindu, Buddha, pagan moon, and as we sons and bones down onto Mother Earth, we could hear this ancient tune. For we are the dreamers, and we have been burned. We are your power source within that you must learn. We're intuition, crying to be heard. We are the dreamers, and we have returned. As we were hearing your voice calling our names, Maya, 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 in the water, in the air, in the creatures everywhere. Da 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 da. Mystics, and we have been burned. We are your power source within that you must learn. We're intuition, crying to be heard. We are the mystics, and we have returned. Yay! So beautiful! Tried to enslave us, and the whips, they cut our flesh. Evil ones were forced upon us, but our spirits, they could not crush. Through gas chambers and slave ships and remnants of war, we've survived through our children and our chants. And the bones that lie in the womb of Mother Earth hear us through our singing and our dance. For we are the soldiers, and we have been burned. We are your power source within that you must learn. We're intuition, crying to be heard. But we are the soldiers, and we have returned. But we are the dreamers, and we have been burned. We are those mystics deep within that you must learn. We are the soldiers, crying to be heard. We are your conscience, and we have returned. We have returned. We have returned.
And one last thing, let us say together, because we are dedicated to protecting life and to being influential, irresistible agents of that. So Homer's Odyssey, the return from war, begins by saying, "Speak to me, O Muse, and through me tell the story." Let's say it together. Speak to me, O Muse, and through me tell the story. Thank you so much for doing this beautiful work.
Yes.
And thank you, Amakayla. Thank you, Amakayla. And beautiful Jessica. Beautiful Jessica. Yay. And thank all of you. We are doing good juju for the world.